This recording, New York 28, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I grew up in the Dominican Republic in the capital, in Santo Domingo, and it was just cool. Like, we have a big family, and we would do these gatherings, and we had like this little street where my great grandmother lived, and all of us sort of grew up there. And so all the family would get together, and the street will be closed, and there will be music outside, and we would dance and make so much food. And it was just fun. So about like 6 years ago or so, we moved to the Bronx. I don't like the Bronx.
Why?
Because my people are not there. There are some Dominicans, but it's predominantly African-American, and it's just not, you know, home. Washington Heights is like, you have all Dominican businesses and everything is for Dominicans and from Dominicans, and it's just cool. Well, in the Dominican Republic, like, we cut the S's out of the words. We replace the R's for like I's or L's, and it's just like very choppy, you know? Yeah. And we speak very fast too. And we kind of have like our own Spanish. Like, I tell my friend, like, okay, after you learn Spanish, then you need to learn Dominican Spanish because it's different, you know? And I've been to Ecuador and Colombia, and I have to change the way that I speak because it's not the same kind of Spanish. Cuando yo estaba chiquita, mi familia y yo nos íbamos para los pueblos. Y íbamos a la playa, jugábamos, bailábamos, comíamos mangú, sancocho, bailábamos salsa, merengue, bachata. íbamos para un sitio que se llama el Polo Magnético, y en el Polo Magnético nadie sabe por qué, si hay una subida, el agua sube como si la gravedad estuviera arriba, pero realmente está abajo. Entonces mi papá filmaba ese experimento que él hacía, y era chévere.